Me? You're asking me what I want out of this? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm just lucky to be here. I'm from the hood and I work at Google. Like, the paycheck? Like, that's what I'm here for. If you don't have agency and a vision for what you want, somebody else is going to create that for you, and you're going to get stuck in something and you're going to get left behind.
This is the show for ambitious, material girls who are learning how to channel their chaotic energy into a more intentional and fun life. Don't be stupid. Listen to Too Smart for This.
On my very first day at Google, my manager looked at me and asked this question, and I am so mortified that I did not have a better answer. She said, "What do you want out of this?" Me? You're asking me what I want out of this? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm just lucky to be here. I'm from the hood and I work at Google. Like, the paycheck? Like, that's what I'm here for. That was a huge lesson I learned on the very first day of my adult career that I have taken with me. And listen, if you want to know my whole career story, I have clearly pivoted a ton of times and have a lot of different experiences. But the point is, I did not have agency or a vision for my career when I started out. And that is one of the biggest things that I regret. Because today, if you don't have agency and a vision for what you want, somebody else is going to create that for you. And you're going to get stuck in something and you're going to get left behind. It's no secret that today's labor market is very difficult for a ton of people. But the thing that you have right now is agency, and we are going to, by the end of this episode, you're going to feel empowered to take the reins on your own career, cast a vision for it, and you're going to have some practical resources for how to do that with building your personal brand online and up-leveling your skills so that you can create the dream for yourself that you want to create. So let's get started. Most people don't know how to answer the question, what do you want out of this? Because we are not taught to design our career paths. We're taught to absorb other people's, which is why it's always like, oh, I want to listen to this person's interview because they did this thing. Or, oh, I would love to follow the path that this person did. And in reality, the people who have the most fulfilling and iconic and meaningful careers are the ones who did not follow a path. For example, it used to be like if you wanted to be an actress, for example, you go to school for acting and then you move to LA and then you audition for everything and you go through this like rung of things now. Whereas today it could be you start creating content in your living room, you write your own script, you raise money and you shoot your own thing and you submit it to a festival and now all of a sudden like you are a huge actress. Everything is different now. It's more so about the vision and the unique skills that you can provide to bring that vision to life. So we have to acknowledge that the career model has changed. According to data from LinkedIn, from their event that I attended yesterday, the labor market is smaller than it was pre-pandemic, about 20% smaller. And there are twice as many applicants for every job on LinkedIn in the past year, which means that it's not you, it's not your skills, it's not your previous experience, your title, your education. There's nothing wrong with you. There is a completely shifting job market. I've observed this in my own world. I mean, all of my friends at Wharton, a lot of them who were, if they were not sponsored, they were struggling to find a job even up to 6 months after graduation. It's been super difficult for people. In my friend group from college, I have plenty of friends who've been laid off. I have plenty of friends who are still looking for work despite being absolutely incredible in their roles. So it's been a very, very difficult job market, and AI is definitely a huge part of that, particularly because it does allow for more people to do more things at once. And our industry and our labor market is shifting as a response to that because we don't really know where it's going. And you are not about to sit around and wait to figure out what might be coming. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to work, okay? You need to take agency. And that's what we're going to talk about next. So the old model was very much choose a role and climb the ladder. You stay loyal and you will be rewarded for that, right? Whereas today it's very much like there's fewer roles, there's more competition, and that leads to more anxiety, which leads to less confidence. And for you, the antidote to confidence is going to be skill building. Because here's the thing about it. Everyone has value. Everyone has something that they're good at. Everyone has some sort of skills that matter. And if you're going to let external forces define that for you, that's on you, sister. But I think that what we can do in order to feel most confident in the job market is to focus on where we uniquely provide value. And sometimes we're not looking at that the right way. And I'll give you an example of this. Okay, so I am a lifestyle influencer. That's something I've been doing for many years. And on top of my previous roles at Google and YouTube, and also while I was getting my MBA from Wharton, this is the main thing that was bringing me money, right? And so I always felt like, oh my God, like, if I'm not selling affiliate links or if I'm not getting like the conversions on my outfits and stuff like that, then I'm a bad influencer. And that was a metric with which I was judging my influence for a very long time, especially because there was like pressure from my agency and stuff to do that. So I'm judging myself on that when in reality, my greatest skills are actually through teaching. They're actually through coaching. They're actually through writing. And that's why when I stepped into doing those sort of on the side, they accidentally flourished into an entire business model that I had never even considered because I was measuring myself on whether or not I was getting enough link clicks. Like, how crazy is that? I wasn't serving my truest audience because I was thinking that my skills in this other world actually didn't matter. And so when I actually combined the skill set that I naturally had and that I was naturally interested in and started measuring myself on that, I saw a lot more success. So you might just not be giving yourself enough credit for the skills that you already have. Whether that is something like styling your friends, you could become a stylist and create a styling business. Whether that is party planning, when you might be someone who's really great at events. People hate that. Things that come the most easily to you are often the things that other people need the most help with. And so I want us to reframe what our natural skills are. And then from there, cast a vision for how you would love for your life to look, or how you, what type of energy you'd love to be expending out throughout the day. And think about what that actually means for your potential career. Does that mean I'm in a corporate role? Does that mean I'm working for myself? Does that mean I need to get together with a couple of friends and work with them? Does it mean I'm starting something from scratch? Or does it mean that I am trying to join a startup? Like, really reflecting on where your natural skills are and where you naturally want to go next is super important. I definitely recommend doing Values Bridge for this to definitely see what your values are. I also recommend that you do some sort of personality to test, Enneagram, all of these different things to see where you sit in terms of like the most comfortable situation and environment for you to be working. And so just really getting to know yourself and what your skills are and try to think outside the box with this. I will leave some journal prompts in the newsletter for you all to get started with this. So once we've identified all of that, we need to think about skills, because what we also learned from this data from LinkedIn is that it's less so about job title and experience now. It's more so what type of skills can you actually prove that you have, all right? And this is particularly important with the rise of AI, because AI, saying that you're proficient in AI doesn't really mean much, right? You need to demonstrate that you have learned about something, that you have applied it, and that you have created results, whether in your own business or with an external side project of some sort. And that is what's really going to impress employers, okay? And this is why content creation, in my opinion, is one of the best ways to do this, because the reason I got my job at YouTube, was 2 levels higher than I was supposed to have. I was an entry-level employee. I had been at Google for 10 months. And while I was there, I had built a following of about 40,000 on TikTok during that first year at Google. I was just an influencer creator. And at the time, YouTube was launching YouTube Shorts. And YouTube Shorts was like, oh my God, we need to talk to our target audience, which is a Gen Z short-form content creator. And so I got into my interview with them. I basically talked shit about YouTube for the whole time. I got hired and I came on. This was like a 2-level higher job than I was supposed to have, okay? I, in less than 10 months at the company, was able to get this role because externally, outside of Google, outside of those skills, I had learned a very valuable skill that they needed, all right? So it doesn't even matter if you're at a corporate job already and you're like, oh, I'm coasting, I'm gonna be okay. You might get laid off, sister. What roles can you do you need to be building to help your company or your industry get a better bottom line? You need to figure out how to create value. And that's the most important thing, is like, it's less so how do I stay around? How do I make people like me? No, valuable people are the ones who are not lost. It doesn't really matter that I was 2 levels below because I had the value that these people needed, right? So we need to think about it that way. So can you make things work? This is why it's so important to whether it's at your job or not, to have a side project or to constantly be learning a new skill. So if this is you, the easiest thing you can do, I don't really care what industry you're in, is to up-level your skills on AI. This is something that's very easy to do. There are countless courses on it. There's countless free resources about it. I'm going to challenge all of you guys to spend a couple hours this weekend up-leveling in this skill. I also don't care how you feel about AI, because yes, there's good, there's bad, there's so many things going on there. The point of the matter is that it's here. And if you don't take the reins and if you don't actually adjust to that, you will get left behind, particularly if you're a woman, particularly if you're a Black woman. And AI, when more women are not involved in it, more men are, which means that there's a huge, huge technological innovation that's being spearheaded with only one gender's like main opinions, which is disastrous, if you could say. Obviously. So I think there needs to be more women who are interested in this, okay? And there needs to be more women who can adapt to it. Now, you don't need to be an expert, but you do need to be literate in it. And so there's a couple of courses and resources that I'm going to list below for you all, because I want you all to genuinely, I don't want you to get left behind here. And also it can make your life so much easier and just your personal management. And you know how I love an efficient personal management system. Go back and listen to Alignment Edit episode 1 if you want to check that out. But basically, guys, AI is here to stay. I don't care if you like it or not. You need to learn. So this is about identifying the skills that are going to matter in your career long term and upskilling in them so that you can create leverage and value for your own personal brand. And also in case, you know, something drastic changes in the labor market, you know? So I don't want to scare anybody. I think that it's already pretty scary out there. I don't really need to do any of that for you. But I want you to help build yourself some leverage. I want you to build yourself some skills so that you feel confident no matter what happens at your startup, your corporation, or in your entrepreneurial journey, okay? A little bit about how you guys can do this with LinkedIn. The reason I'm excited to talk about LinkedIn with this is not because, well, first of all, this is not sponsored, so I'm just telling you that. Second of all, it's that no matter if you're a creator, because if you're a creator, you definitely should be using LinkedIn. If you're not a creator, if you're in the corporate world, or if you're a startup, whatever you are, you should be posting on LinkedIn because this is the best place for your target audience, whether it's people who you're selling to with your services, or if it's brands that you're trying to get in contact with, or if it's other firms that you just want to make, like showing up is so important, okay? So here are some practical LinkedIn resources that just launched. Some of them just launched, and some of them are just really crucial for building the most optimal profile in today's job market, no matter what, okay? Everybody's going to be updating our LinkedIn profiles this week, okay, sister? Now, first of all, we need to verify our profiles. People who verify their profiles have a 19% increase in in-mail, and they also have 60% more profile views, okay? Easy thing to do. You just upload your resume. It's really easy. Let's do that, okay? Number two is to list your services and skills. So your skills are really important things to add on LinkedIn, and now there's also integrations where you can say you're doing a coding class with Lovable or something like that. It will actually measure your skills and that will show up on your LinkedIn profile so that you can demonstrate, okay, actually, I'm not just saying I know how to use this. I actually am demonstrating that I can, and it's verifiable, which is going to really help you stand out when it comes to every single recruiter who's going to be scrolling on that profile, sister, okay? Now, skills verification scores, they exist now. Even if you are employed, I would highly recommend adding these to your profile. So think skills first and not title first. And when you're searching for jobs on LinkedIn, once you've optimized your profile, you can use Job Match and LinkedIn Learning to up-level when you feel like you're not really at a great place, okay? So LinkedIn Learning, I have personally used this back when I was in college. I used LinkedIn Learning for a couple of different courses, and they do have new things on here too. I'm still going to link other courses that I think would work for you, but essentially, once you use the AI job search to find a role that you might be interested in, what it'll do is it'll show you how close you are actually to that job match, and it'll give you different courses that you can do in order to upskill to get to that place if you want to. And they've also added something that I cannot believe they didn't have before, which is called the job tracker. So it's like a command center for all the jobs you've viewed, saved, applied to, blah, blah, blah. So it'll make the job search a lot easier for you. So all of this is just a reminder, anytime that you're updating your profile, it's to demonstrate how you've made things work and the value that you can provide someone, not, hey, I'm good enough and I'm perfect enough and maybe you should hire me. It's like, no. We need to remember that what companies care about in today's day and age is the bottom line and its value. And so I really want you guys to think about how you can help create that in your industry. And also, a quick little tip is that the jobs that have been expanding the most on LinkedIn have been in the healthcare segment. So if that's something you're interested in, I would definitely dig into that too. I just want to reiterate why all of this matters, which is that your career is very closely tied to your mental, your financial, and your physical stability. And I really want us to remember that when we give agency to other people and we ask them to tell us whether or not we're doing a good job, or we outsource our skill building to other people's agendas, we lose so much creative agency and so much, you know, personal agency. So it's very important to me that you all leave this conversation with just a little bit of like a kick to get started with creating that vision for yourself. I love the Too Smart for This journal for helping you dream big on what you genuinely want out of your career and what you want out of your life. But I just think no matter what, if you don't take the time to do that, you will be left behind, not because you're like a bad person, but because you opted out from really looking at this current moment in the career landscape and taking advantage of this huge pivot point. So with that being said, I'm so excited to dive into today's conversation with Julia Cabral. She is the head of product marketing at LinkedIn. I absolutely loved chatting with her because, of course, she also has a wonderful career and she's made her own career pivots as well that we can dig into, and we do in our conversation. And then she also gives some really great tips for getting started creating on LinkedIn, because no matter who you are, you need to be creating and building your personal brand online. So with that being said, thank you guys for listening and I'll see you next week. Don't forget, you're too smart to not love yourself, and let's jump into our conversation with Julia. I want to start off talking about your career pivot. So you started off in finance, now you're in product marketing. Tell us how you got there and any advice for someone looking to switch industries like that.
Yes. So I got an amazing piece of advice from a mentor when I was a couple years into my finance role here at LinkedIn. And I was just kind of feeling like I wasn't feeling fulfilled in my job and I couldn't figure out why. And my mentor said, you know, get to the end of your week and just reflect back on the things that energized you and the things that like suck to your energy. So I did this. And what I realized was as a finance person, I was spending 90% of my week in spreadsheets and that was getting pretty draining. And there was this like one PowerPoint presentation I would get to make to a group of people once a week. Mm-hmm. And that was like 100% of my joy at work. And so just that reflection on what was energizing me and draining me made me realize like I'm spending way too much time in the analytical, not enough time in the creative and people-centric.
Yeah.
So I took that insight and I kind of looked around at the different teams that I worked with at the company and I saw this marketing team that was doing work that just felt like it sat at the heart of creativity, analytical, and people-centric. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of said, like, that feels like what I need to be doing. So it was really that reflection on energy that led me to move from finance into marketing.
I love that, especially because I think energy is not something you think about when it comes to your career. Sometimes people are just thinking about their skill sets or just thinking about their previous experience and not how their work makes them feel.
So, yeah.
I mean, even also props to like having a great manager that can help you reflect like that.
Totally.
So I think that's a really great piece of tangible advice people can take with them. Okay. So managing a nonlinear career. A lot of our audience is in a new career landscape that all of us find ourselves in where a portfolio career, entrepreneurship, or even like transitioning in their corporate jobs is a big part of what we're doing now. So I'm curious for you, like what skills or experiences do you think that you took from your past that you brought with you into this career today? And also, I guess, what kind of mindset do you feel like you needed to manage going from one function to another function?
Yeah. So I think transferable skills are everywhere. You just have to look for them and harness them. Mm-hmm. And to facilitate a transition, setting yourself up can really help. So what I mean by that is when I was in finance, I did a lot of analytical work. And so I had a really great analytical foundation. I knew how to analyze different trends, spreadsheets, pull data, organize, draw conclusions, recommend strategy. All of that translates into marketing as well. So that was a great skill set that I could translate from finance into marketing. I just had to find new applications for it and new language to talk about what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then my other piece of advice I always give people if they're transitioning from one function to another, especially at one company, is if you can do it on the same team or in the same part of the business, it helps so much. Mm. So I transitioned from finance into marketing, always working on the Sales Navigator product here at LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And so what that meant was while I had to learn a new function, I was working with all the same people. Mm. I already had a reputation with
them.
Which
is great.
They trusted me. I knew how the product worked. Well, I just had to learn marketing skills, which again, on top of that analytical foundation was pretty quick to
build up. Oh my gosh. So I guess I'm curious, this is separate, but when it comes to the marketing skill of out on your own, building a personal brand online and posting short form video or long form on TikTok, like what prompted you to want to learn that skill and say, okay, I'll put myself out there and I'll create a video or something like that.
You know,
that there is product marketing and then there's, you know, showing up on your own.
Yeah. Well, I'm like a product marketer through and through. I didn't know it until I wound up in product marketing.
Yeah.
But I was working a few years ago on the video product and on the feed at LinkedIn. Yeah. And I just had this moment where I felt like if I'm going to get people out there to share content, to share video on LinkedIn, like that takes some vulnerability and some courage. And if I can't do that myself, how am I going to really understand the audience's pain points and how am I going to convince other people to do that? So I just had this moment of like, I got to get over myself and just start putting myself out there so I can like walk in the audience's shoes. And that really gave me so much more empathy for what it feels like to put yourself out there on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
But it also like really helped me build my confidence in it too, which has totally changed how I approach marketing for the feed and LinkedIn videos.
Totally. I can relate to that with being at YouTube and being like, I understand what it's like to make a short form video. That's why I can go tell you guys how to do this or whatever it was. But it's I really like that. And I think that anyone interested in marketing today should definitely take a stab at it.
Totally.
Too,
I like to tell people like, you are the product. So as a marketer, think about how you can go market yourself. That's only going to benefit you in your career, especially if you do it from that place of authenticity and wanting to show kind of what you know in a way that's helpful to other people. Mm. I think you can do that in a way that's like really helps your professional brand and also helps other people and doesn't come across as too self-promotional.
Yes, exactly. And I want to kind of get into that. So obviously, we very much understand LinkedIn. So why do you believe today building a personal brand is important? You sort of touched on it here, which like you are the product. So anyone who's maybe not in marketing, but for everyone, whether you're a creator or not, why does LinkedIn matter for building your personal brand?
Okay, so I'm going to start with a super tactical reason.
Okay.
If you go Google yourself, which I Googled you before this.
Oh, no, they get the worst pics of me on there.
Okay, well, once you scroll past the pics, your LinkedIn profile is in within the first few results. Mm-hmm. And so that's really your place where you control the narrative about how you show up online. Mm-hmm. So anytime someone searches for you, you want to own that narrative. So what shows up on your LinkedIn profile in terms of your headline and your summary section is a great start. Mm-hmm. But once you start sharing content, that really helps make it a more 360-degree picture of who you are. Mm-hmm. And I just think if you don't do that, you're missing the opportunity to really own your own narrative when anyone looks you up online. Mm-hmm. But then more kind of big picture philosophically and like looking toward the future, I think in an increasingly AI-centric world, you and your personality are your differentiator.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you can really bring yourself to life in that setting online where people search for you, that's going to help you stand out and really show people who you are. And I think that's going to be more and more needed and wanted as we keep moving into this AI world.
I mean, absolutely. I'm thinking of that now of maybe someone who's more of an introvert or has been in a corporate role for a long time or might not have that agency in showing up in any other place, but doing it on LinkedIn or something like that. So with that being said, I mean, when it comes to someone who doesn't see themselves as a creator and more so is someone who is very serious about their career, but does want to demonstrate their personality, but is a little bit scared, like what are some recommendations you have for getting started?
Yeah. So I always tell people, think about yourself 2 years ago and find something that you know today that you could share with yourself from 2 years ago that would have been helpful. Mm-hmm. Because I guarantee there are other people just like you who are 2, 3, 4 more years behind you, and they can benefit from what you know today. So literally just go back and think about what you did this week that you didn't know how to do a couple years ago. Yeah. Write it down. See how it feels authentic to share. Like maybe it's just a written post. Maybe it has a picture with it. Maybe it's a longer form article. Maybe it's a video. But just like, what's that nugget of something that you know that would be helpful to yourself in the past? And I think that's such an easy place to get started and can apply to literally anyone and any career.
I mean, 100%, especially I was thinking about this when people were asking me to do creator coaching or to start with personal branding help, because I was like, oh, this seems so normal to me. But 2 years ago, I didn't know all this. So that is such a good prompt to get started, especially because it's also rooted in, you know, helping others in service as well. So,
totally.
All right. This is the question everyone really wants to know,
which
is how personal is too personal on LinkedIn? And I saw you made a really great post about this. So I'm really curious from you. Share with our audience, like, what do I post on here? And like, what's the line that you tell?
Yeah. I love this question. Yeah. I think my simple answer is think about personality rather than personal.
Okay.
And my rule of thumb is like, if I were standing in line waiting for coffee with a coworker, would I feel comfortable sharing this?
Mm-hmm.
So for example, sometimes my dogs work their way into my LinkedIn post. I always keep it professional and about work at the end of the day. But like sometimes I expose a personal detail in my life that gives you a window into who I am. Like I have dogs. I love running. I live near the beach. Mm-hmm. All of those things are like totally safe in a professional setting. I'm never going to like tell you everything I did this weekend on LinkedIn. So there's a line. And I think just thinking about what you would feel comfortable sharing with a coworker is a pretty good rule of thumb to follow.
So that's a good one. I think that eases a lot of anxiety for people because it's like, okay, I can figure out what that means to me.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of, to give some people a little bit more tactical advice, what are some easy, low pressure post ideas? Like what are like 3 post ideas to get started? So anyone who is listening does not have any excuse but to be posting on LinkedIn.
Okay. 3 ideas for you. Well, I gave you one earlier, which is think about yourself 2 years ago.
Yes,
what's one piece of advice that you would give your younger self?
Mm-hmm.
I think one that works really well is, what's something unexpected you learned from your first job?
Mm-hmm.
So my first job was working in a retail shopping center. I was on my feet for 8+ hours. They made us wear heels and the floor was cobblestone. Like, what was that about?
It's crazy.
So ridiculous.
The cobblestone.
and you had to be friendly and nice to every customer. And just that, like, importance of customer support really stuck with me, even when your feet were in pain. So what's something unexpected you learned in your first job? I think that's a really easy, safe post on LinkedIn. And then another one that I find myself doing and pointing to often is, especially if you're in like a marketing or marketing adjacent role, what's a piece of marketing or advertising that worked on you and why?
I love this because I think those of us in marketing, we love to watch an ad and
pick it apart.
Exactly.
Yeah. And someone pointed this out to me once. If you reshare an ad, like no company's ever going to get mad at you for resharing a piece of their advertising. Like that's good for them.
Everybody
so that's a very
impression.
And everyone can be an armchair marketer. So that's another easy one to try.
I love that. Well, thank you. It's perfect. Okay. So now, this is more of a personal question for me, but it's about what formats work on LinkedIn. You mentioned that you worked on the video product.
Yeah.
And I'm curious now, especially with whether we're creators or not, video, text, long form, like how do we think about our strategy when we're starting with formats on LinkedIn?
Yeah. I'm glad you said the word strategy because I think it really depends what your strategy as a creator is. Like, are you just trying to get in front of as many people as possible with as little effort as possible? You know, that would lead you one direction versus another. For me in particular, I talked about personality being a differentiator, and feedback I get from people is that I'm warm and engaging, and that's something that makes me stand out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to come across in a text post. So,
so true.
I lean into video because I feel like that's what helps me bring my personality to life best.
Yeah.
And I just frankly find it fun to like record and edit video. So it really depends. I would definitely encourage people to experiment, see what works both in terms of feeling authentic to you and what resonates with your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And then keep trying new things and keep doing more of what's working.
Amazing. Do you have any video best practices?
Yes. People's attention spans are short.
Oh, yeah.
So we say try to keep it short. Our best practice is like under 90 seconds. I will say I try to get to like 45 seconds with a really single-minded idea. Don't try to do too many things. Try to come up with one single-minded idea. We also find that if you tell people what the video is going to be about, especially using like a text on-screen caption at the beginning, that helps people know, oh, this is about career advice for marketers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can add that burned in text hook at the beginning, that's really helpful. And then we find that a lot of people watch video with sound off. So always include captions too.
Good. These are little things that are just good reminders. I really love that. So speaking of some little things that are good reminders, what are some underrated profile upgrades that we should be making to our profiles for those of us who are, this is going to be very important to our strategies going forward?
Yeah. Well, again, that's it. Your profile is the front door to you on LinkedIn, on the internet, so it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Overlooked things. I'll give you a couple. One is we allow you to feature content on your profile.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people just like either forget to set this up
or
myself included need to go back and refresh it.
Yeah.
So you can essentially feature as many pieces of content that you want, but it'll highlight 2 to 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things you want to make sure people see.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that's a piece of content about like who you are, what you care about, what you're about, or something you're really proud of, featuring content is a really great thing to really show who you are and catch people's eye in the first time that they land on your profile. Second piece of advice I like to remind people is in your experience section under each job, a lot of people just put the title and the logo of the company they worked at. Tell us what impact you had. Tell us what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little story. Give us some information about what you did and the impact that you had in that job. I think that really helps kind of flesh out your professional story.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one that gets overlooked is name pronunciation.
Ooh.
So especially for people who have hard to pronounce names, you can actually go record yourself saying your name.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many times I have discovered that someone's done that right before I meet with them.
Mm.
And it just helps me so much to be able to know I'm pronouncing their name correctly. So that's a little bonus one that is super helpful when people add it.
I like that. Sometimes these are little things that we overlook because we think, oh, like nobody's really looking, but it's always good to have your best foot forward and give people as much opportunity to learn about you as they can.
Exactly.
You know? Okay. Last big question for you is about the future of work. So as creation, personal branding, and flexibility become more and more central to everyone's careers, how do you think professionals, whether you're in your early career, your mid-level, how do you think that we should be preparing for this transition, and how can we use LinkedIn to do so?
Yeah, I just think careers are going to be more and more multifaceted. Mm-hmm. People are going to have side hustles. They're going to have passion projects. I, for almost a decade, had a side hustle as a fitness instructor, and that kind of blended identity of like corporate marketer and spin instructor.
I would totally take your class.
It was so fun, and it just balanced me out so well. And I think that the next generation craves that multifaceted identity as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really comes back to owning your narrative, showing what makes you unique in terms of your personality. And I think LinkedIn is the perfect tool to really share that story with the world in that professional context. So it just comes back to not being scared or too shy to put yourself out there, but defining what makes you you, and then just starting to put yourself out there and share little pieces of that.
Yeah.
The amazing thing about sharing on LinkedIn is that I promise when you start doing it, you get this amazing positive feedback.
You do. Yeah.
Sometimes it's likes and comments, but sometimes it's like a DM or a text from someone you worked with 5 years ago.
Man.
That positive feedback keeps me going, and I think it's so powerful.
I love that. And I mean, I've actually have a similar anecdote where sometimes you'll be posting, and when you post more, oftentimes your engagement goes down. I tell my like people this all the time because, you know, people are seeing more of you. But then in real life, your friend is like, oh, I saw your post about this.
Uh-huh.
And then, oh, I sent this to my friend. Because whatever you do when you're putting content out there, you are owning your own narrative.
Yeah.
And even if it doesn't show up by you going viral,
yeah,
it does have an impact on your personal brand. And so I really love that you mentioned that.
Yeah. Don't sweat the performance of every single post as well.
Right? Yeah.
You have to put in the reps and just keep putting yourself out there. If one post doesn't get as much engagement as another, you know, no one's going to look at that and judge you.
Exactly.
Like, I think that's what people live in fear of. And really, it's totally fine. Just keep putting yourself out there, and feel free to recycle ideas that work well. I think that repetition is helpful too.
So true. I agree. Final little rapid fire for you. All right. Is who's your favorite LinkedIn creator to follow right now?
Heike Young. She used to work at Microsoft, but she is now out on her own as a content creator.
Cool.
She does kind of like B2B marketing and productivity. She's hilarious.
Perfect.
She just lights up my feed every day.
Oh, I can't wait to check her out.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the best piece of career advice you've ever received?
To reflect on what energizes you and what drains your energy, and over time, do more of the former, less of the latter.
Perfect. Okay, what about the worst piece?
Worst piece of advice, like to stay in your lane, or is that really your job, or just things that limit you.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, one 2026 intention or resolution that you are definitely going to stick with. Or definitely aren't. You can tell us what's working too.
No, I love resolution.
Okay, good.
The thing I'm really like trying to lean into this year, and just as I get older, is like trusting my intuition.
Perfect one for our audience. That's what our goal
is.
Great. Okay. All right. What is a book that genuinely changed how you think about work or life?
It's more on the work side, but it really sticks with me. Multipliers by Liz Wiseman. It's an oldie but a goodie, and it really changed how I thought about management, but also changed how I think about myself as an employee with a manager.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Okay. What is a product, tool, or app that's quietly changed your day-to-day life?
Okay, day-to-day life?
Yes.
Mouth tape.
Oh my
I love
God.
To say that.
Yes.
I'm like addicted to mouth taping.
Oh my
taping.
God, we have a great Jella.
That's what my husband gives me.
No, really?
Endless.
Yeah.
Makes endless fun of me for it, but more on the work side,
yeah.
I would say specifically voice dictation with pick your favorite LLM of choice.
Oh my God.
If I can word vomit into ChatGPT and then have it organize my thoughts back to me, that's really been a game changer.
Oh, I absolutely love that. Because same. I wouldn't be able to do as much as I do if I was not like yelling into my phone.
Yeah, constantly. Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And now I'm curious, do you have any other little wellness things? So we're a wellness show. So like wellness and work.
Okay.
But like any other little wellness.
So my other, I could go on and on, but my other like every day will not skip is Melissa Woodhouth.
Oh,
if you know
I love her.
I've been a MWH girly for years.
That is incredible. She's so great. Ugh,
amazing.
She's the best. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's lovely to hear. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming
on. This
was
so fun. Yeah, of course.
So fun. You gave us great advice. So I think
this
is going to be amazing.
Yeah. Follow me. I do try to share this advice on LinkedIn. Okay, I think about what I can share that would be helpful to other people. Mm-hmm. So I share a lot of this advice on LinkedIn. If you follow me, I'm Julia Cabral Flavin on LinkedIn.
Perfect. I will make sure it's all linked down below. And we're excited for more LinkedIn updates.
Yay. Thanks Alexa.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Smart for This. Make sure you're subscribed to our Substack and follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Too Collective. Don't be stupid. Listen to Too Smart for This.